This is Pontech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. On day one of CES 2008 in Las Vegas, Intel CEO Paul Otellini gave an afternoon keynote and spoke of the internet as evolving toward being more personalized. Now, it reacts to us based on our requests. But the next step has the internet coming to us. Otellini describes the future internet as a technology that brings us the tools we need when we need them by anticipating what we need. Here's an excerpt from his Monday afternoon address.
The first obstacle to delivering this experience we just saw is silicon. We need more powerful, more energy efficient microprocessors. The second obstacle is that we need a ubiquitous wireless broadband infrastructure. The third obstacle is that the internet today lacks the context about what we need. And lastly, we need much more natural user interfaces. Each obstacle in and of itself is a challenge. Together, they're very, very daunting. At Intel, though, we like challenges, and we're working hard to deliver the solutions: silicon building blocks, wireless connectivity, and other enabling technologies like visualization and gesture computing that make this vision a reality. But we can't do it alone, nor are we trying to. Development of the personal internet requires an ecosystem. We need the smartest minds from multiple industries working together to create new business models. The opportunity for those in this room in the CE industry lies in creating this next generation of devices and services that go with them. But first, we need to overcome the obstacles I've just listed. Silicon is the foundation of all things that connect to the internet. Let's start by discussing the progress being made in silicon technology today. Silicon chips today are really just collections of structures called transistors that do the work of computing. Big things happen when we shrink transistors. And shrinking the transistor is the answer to addressing the silicon needs of tomorrow's personal internet. The silicon industry has been shrinking transistors since its founding. The idea framing this progression is called Moore's Law, an observation made about 40 years ago by Gordon Moore, Intel's co-founder. Essentially, Gordon saw that silicon technology was progressing at a very predictable rate. Every 18 to 24 months, we reduced the size of the transistors enough to double the number of transistors on any given chip. Now, let me put this in perspective. Our first microprocessor was introduced in 1971, and it was called the 4004. It contained 2,250 transistors, each of which was 10 microns in size. Our latest quad-core microprocessor has 820 million transistors. If we had used the same size transistor in the original 4004 to build this 820 million transistor quad-core machine, the die would be 9 feet by 6 feet, or the actual size of the plot standing behind me. It would consume the energy of 200 U.S. households. But thanks to Moore's Law and our ability to continually shrink the size of the transistors, the real chip is actually 93,000 times smaller, about the size of your thumbnail, and consumes 2,000 times less energy. If shrinking is the key to solving our problem, you might wonder how small is small. As Intel CEO, I'm proud to say that Intel has led the silicon industry into the nano world. Our latest manufacturing process builds transistors 45 nanometers in size. So how big is a nanometer? Well, a nanometer is 1/1,000,000th of a meter. That's really small. To put this in perspective, a nanometer is to a meter as this marble is to the planet Earth, the real Earth, not the image behind me. Working in this incredibly small world presents extremely difficult problems. 10 years ago, our scientists identified a major problem in shrinking transistors. As we made the transistors smaller, we found that they leaked more current, they created heat and power consumption problems at the die level and at the device level. Moore's Law might have come to an end by now. However, our engineers found new techniques, a new recipe for making transistors, using what we call a high-k metal gate structure. To this structure, we added the element hafnium to our transistor recipe for the first time. This combination gives us a technology that has a very wide range of options. We can deliver 38% more performance at the transistor level for the same power as the prior generation, or we can cut the power in half and have the same performance as the prior generation, giving us the ability to scale our devices for a wide variety of computer and communication needs. The discovery also allowed us to keep shrinking the transistors and to continue putting more and more die onto a chip. Intel now cranks out transistors at the rate of 2 billion transistors a second. In fact, we have shipped more than 2.4 trillion transistors since I walked out on this stage. We currently have a roadmap that takes us out 5 more generations of silicon process technology. That's 10 more years. The path will be marked by numerous other scientific breakthroughs. I can't describe them to you today because we haven't invented them yet, but I have no doubt that we'll make all the breakthroughs necessary to make those 5 generations happen. Moore's Law will continue to describe the future of silicon technology. Shrinking silicon, though, through Moore's Law brings another advantage worth discussing. We can use all these transistors to integrate new functions onto the same chip. In the industry, that's called system-on-chip technology, or SoC. For the consumer electronics industry, we've designed a specialized SoC chip. To do this, we began with a dedicated audio and video decode system that allows us the chip to play 1080p video and 7.1 surround sound. We added to that chip a high-performance Intel architecture microprocessor core. We added to that a 3D graphics unit for cool user interfaces and online games. And we added to that technologies to enable broadcast and multicast television. We call this chip Canmore. Canmore is our first SoC for consumer electronics devices. Think of this as one single chip that is both a CE system and an internet computer on a single chip. We have our first Canmore chips out of our fab, and they're running here today in this development system. I'd like to show you what this chip enables. The chip's outputting video to the screen behind me and to the speakers in the room. And it's just a very simple demonstration of very, very high def video with surround sound capability. But remember, this chip is also an internet computer. So it allows us to be able to access the internet with devices that many of you in the CE industry are looking at designing. HD TVs, set-top boxes, HD players, stereos, and so forth. Anything that needs this kind of capability now has a chip, integrated full system on a chip capability. Thanks for turning the music off. Similarly, we can take those same transistors and use Moore's Law and the power of integration to develop solutions for mobile internet devices as well. Now, what's a mobile internet device? I think a mobile internet device is something you carry around in your pocket that allows you to deliver the full internet, no compromises. To do this, we've created a new platform that's called Menlo. Menlo delivers the same internet experiences that consumers have known so well and come to expect. Streaming video, Flash, Java applications, and a whole lot more. All this happens while drawing less than 1 watt of power, all in a form factor today that is not much larger than a cell phone, and that over the next year and 2 year time frame will shrink down in size by half and then by half again. I believe this new category of devices creates a prime opportunity for the CE companies in this room. So if silicon was the first challenge standing between us and the personal internet, I think that wireless broadband connectivity is the second challenge. And the good news is that that challenge is being met. Eventually, we will blanket the globe with wireless broadband connectivity. There's many wireless technologies being evolved and developed competing to do this, from WiMAX to 3G to 4G. Each technology has its unique set of advantages and business models. Over the next 5 to 10 years, we at Intel believe that WiMAX provides a significant advantage to bring about the personal internet. Why? Because we think it has the flexibility and coverage of cellular networks, It's combined with that, with the upload and download speeds of broadband, making it the best solution for video over the wireless internet. And it's expanding quickly, with commercial networks and trials now covering 70 countries around the world, shown in green on the screen behind me. Once we have silicon and ubiquitous internet access from anywhere, we still need to deal with this hit-or-miss nature of search today, which has not yet taken into account your location, your device, or the context. Today, we can't easily integrate context and personal preferences and recommendations from the various social networks that we're all on. Many companies are trying to solve this problem, and technologies are being evolved to work on this. But essentially, we need to move from searching for information to a world where information finds you proactively. A more personal internet, though, is a two-way street. To provide more information to you, the internet needs to know more about you. And therefore, the impetus is on us in the industry to make sure that we can provide the security and the privacy that consumers need to enable this kind of service. Lastly, the personal internet needs to have much improved user interfaces. Intel and many other companies in the industry are looking at things like gestures and motions, facial expressions, and other ways to interact with the internet's vast resources. To picture the transition, though, to a more natural interface, I'd like you to think about the Nintendo Wii. The popularity of Wii lies with the interface and not with the graphics. The controller wand is a very deceptively simple innovation. It allows the player to use natural motions. You don't expect to play a game on the Wii, you expect to engage and interact with it. The experience brings people together in many new ways. As human interfaces to computers have evolved from the keyboard to the mouse to the joystick and now to the wand, we've seen an evolution to a more natural interface. And with each step, we see more active engagement. And this will impact not just gaming. In fact, this will impact things like social networking. When you look at the social network sites today, the popularity of them suggests the high demand for people to connect, to share things, to share their interests, to make friends. But on the social network sites today, you don't really get a sense of the personal interaction, you know, a sense of the person that you're interacting with. I think that this personal internet I'm describing has the potential to come up with a better sense of presence on the internet with a few more technologies. And the result when we do this will be things like Second Life and other environments like that will take another step up in terms of the slice of reality that we have in the virtual world. Large portions of the CE industry have been focused on personal content up to now, in camcorders and in photography in particular. I think that the personal internet is going to accelerate this pace. Increasingly, the consumer will be the generator of content, with the internet enabling the distribution. This means that new devices, new business models are needed to take advantage of these changes. And the change creates a huge opportunity. We at Intel want to work closely with you as your silicon and computing partner to bring your creativity about and bring about the personal internet. I'd like to leave you with a parting thought from Bob Noyce. Bob was Gordon Moore's partner in the early days of the semiconductor industry and the co-founder of Intel Corporation. And his quote deals with embracing change. Bob said, "Don't be encumbered by history. Go off and do something wonderful." They're very simple words that capture the spirit of the human potential to drive and to invent. At Intel, we take inspiration from them, and we offer them to you in the CE industry. Now's the time to embrace the opportunity before us. Let's go forward and build something wonderful together. Thank you very much.